Everybody's present.
Special orders of business. We have a special recognition to youth hockey teams, and I will ask Deputy Mayor Jerry Nankervis to decide.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
The hockey team?
How many do we have out there?
A lot.
100. And we want you
okay.
to bring every them. Name.
What? Why don't you
all
bring
in.
You want to bring them up?
He's trying to get ready.
Get them lined up.
Get them lined up.
Look at that.
Trophy.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
I like that. Your name.
Oh.
This is great. Come on in. Your name here. Super awesome.
You guys recognize me?
Is this working?
Yeah.
Yes, it is okay. I can't hear it. So, I have two citations I'm going to read from the 30th Alaska State Legislature that we also support. These are honoring Juneau Capitals 12UA and 12UB state hockey champions. I'm going to read the 12UA first. Hopefully, they're very similar, so there will be some repetition in them, but they're for both teams, okay? The 30th Alaska State Legislature joins the community of Juneau in congratulating players and coaches of the Juneau Capitals 12UA hockey team on its Alaska State Hockey Association State Championship for the 2017-2018 season. The Capitals competed in Anchorage and avenged a mid-season tournament championship game loss to claim the state title. The victory gave Juneau its second different 12U state championship, you'll hear more about the other one in a second, and created a first for Juneau youth hockey. The team faced a must-win situation to advance to the quarterfinals and responded with a 9-0 victory, and my ad-lib part, mucked up. They then rattled off three state victories to close out the tournament with a 5-1 record exemplified by athleticism, strong team play, and sportsmanship. Those on the team: Anthony Arroyo, Luke Bovitz, Jaeger Dostel, Stein Dostel, Caden Johns, Carter Kohlhaas, Camden Kovach, Harris Monsef, John McElmurray, Ian Moeller, Mason Suter, Jackson White, and these group of young men, and I have a woman here as well, coached by Mike Bovitz, Jason Kohlhaas, and Dave Kovach, and managed by Vince McElmurray. Members of the 30th Alaska State Legislature take great pride in honoring outstanding athleticism, sportsmanship, and performance for the 2017-2018 Juneau Capitals 12UA state champions. Let's hear it for the 12UA group. Now for the 12UB, the 30th Alaska State Legislature joins the community of Juneau in congratulating players and coaches of the Juneau Caps 12UB hockey team on its Alaska State Hockey Association State Championship for 2017-2018 season. The Capitals competed in Fairbanks and won all six games, including a 3-2 overtime victory over the Junior Avalanche squad in the championship game. It was a game marked by memorable plays, good sportsmanship by both teams, and lasting camaraderie. Twice the Capitals needed to overcome a 1-0 lead before claiming a 2-1 quarterfinal and 3-1 semifinal win en route to the title game. Throughout the tournament, the Capitals showed fortitude and a belief in one another that victory was possible. Team members are Joseph L. Alleen, Aiden Allison, Lake Bartlett, Maccabee Berna, Keegan Clancy, Alessandra Friend, Caleb Friend, Kelton Griffith, Gabriel Hansen, Bailey Hansen, Matthew Munoz, Matthew Plang, Matthew Paris, Dana Pedersen. Head coach are Kevin Hansen, assistant coach Steve Quinn, and team manager Heather Pedersen. Members of the 30th Alaska State Legislature and the Juneau City and Borough Assembly take great pride in honoring outstanding athleticism, sportsmanship, and performance in the 2017-2018 Juneau Capitals 12UB state champions. Congratulations to the 12B as well. job, folks. Nice job. I'll turn this over to the coaches. Does any of the three coaches wish to speak publicly? You guys are loud. I hear you at the rink all the time. I know you're plenty loud. Bye-bye.
It's been our honor to coach these kids. They're a great group of young men and women, and I'm really proud of their efforts over the course of a long, long season, and I'm very happy to be in this position, so thank you.
The only thing I'll say is the most fun feedback that I got from the other coaches was how well our players and our kids represented Juno with sportsmanship and just good behavior well beyond any victory that we produced. And that's one of my biggest things.
Like to say it's been a lot of fun watching all these kids grow and learn the program and watching them go see adversity, get wins, get losses, but watch them come together and really truly enjoy the game. That's probably the biggest statement is watching how much they enjoy playing this game. And it's been a lot of fun. So I do appreciate it. I appreciate everything they do.
Thanks, coach.
On occasion I do get to referee this group, and they are a great group of young hockey players. Thank you. We're going to start with you and then work your way down the line, and all the assembly members want to shake hands as well, all right? Thank you. I get to do this on Nice job. Take it like you need it, remember.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good job.
Thank you all. Congratulations.
Good job.
Oh, look at this.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations.
Good
so good.
For just a second, and we're going to have the presentation of the Check for Social Services grant.
Is she
here? I have not
seen her.
She's
up there. Is she? Okay.
Okay.
About a whole lot less exciting in here now.
Oh, it gets better. If we could have Amy Skillbreath come up, please. Amy Skillbreath.
I don't see her.
She was sucked out with the tide.
That's okay. Come on up.
Is there a
We need other.
Hello.
Really odd.
Testing.
Yes, keep the testing progress.
All right. How about if we better? Come on down. All right, you guys need to squeeze
clump
in over
up.
Here.
Need to clump up.
Now, if I could have all the assembly come down behind me. The assembly behind me.
Oh, all right.
I'll just stand there. I'll not stand up here. I can't get down here.
All right.
I'm going to a lot of trouble.
Okay, on behalf of the City and Borough of Juneau, we're very proud to be part of this check in the Juneau Community Foundation, the other part of this check, and I'll hand that over to Amy.
Thank you. This is a presentation of the check for this year's social service grants that it's coming from the City and Borough of Juneau, the Juneau Community Foundation, United Way, and AELMP Avista. And it's over $1.9 million to support social service organizations in Juneau. And we just want to thank the City and Borough of Juneau for their partnership with us on this, and thank all these wonderful people who are with us today who are representing the groups that actually do the work.
No, I will say that again. This check is the easiest part. You have the hardest part. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Good thing you know the first word.
You can pick it up after the meeting.
Yeah. All right. Hi.
There's another one.
Whereas the week of May 14th through 21st, 2018, has served locally and nationally as infrastructure infrastructure week. Whereas the City and Borough of Juneau relies on critical infrastructure, including that roads and bridges, a transit system, including the Marine Highway, our ports, harbors, airports, our pipes and water systems, a reliable power source, which is without a valley. Our broadband and our connectivity to the regional, national, and global economy. And whereas this infrastructure enhances our local and regional economy, our quality of life, our safety, and the strength of our community. And whereas decades of underfunding and poor maintenance have pushed infrastructure to the brink of a national crisis with preventable catastrophic failures, including derailments and collapses occurring as a result. Whereas to grow our economy, keep Americans safe, and strengthen our community, we need all levels of government and the private sector to work together to repair and to rebuild our nation's infrastructure. Whereas Infrastructure Week challenges policymakers and the public to address the challenges facing the U.S. infrastructure to move beyond short-term fixes and improvements into vision and innovative solutions, technology, policies, and investments that will improve America's future. And therefore, I tend to be California City of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City Girl Assembly, to be hereby proclaimed the week of March 14th to the members as infrastructure. Congratulations.
Infrastructure Week is important. It's important because infrastructure doesn't vote, and it's important as a fabric of what keeps society together. It provides the economic engine that drives our economy. It provides us opportunities to recreate. It also provides the opportunity to visit family, friends outside the community. So, but up and down, infrastructure is very important, and just. We're at a point in this country that we have to remind the public the importance to really have to demand infrastructure that meets all the goals.
In my 25 years working for the city, it's been clear to me that assemblies and staff over the years have put a very high priority on maintaining our infrastructure. And what that means is we are keeping our physical plants in good working order and not deferring those problems to the next generation. And I've been proud to work on that for many, many years.
Brings us to approval of minutes. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The four sets of minutes have all been discussed with me and the clerk, and we determined just a very few things, itsy-bitsy things. But I move that we approve April 2, 2018, regular assembly meeting and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, minutes are approved.
And April 23, 2018, regular assembly meeting.
Seeing no objection, the minutes are approved.
And April 25, 2018, special assembly meeting.
Seeing no objection, the minutes are approved.
And April 30, 2018, special assembly meeting.
Seeing no objection, the minutes are approved. Thank you, Ms. Becker. Manager's request for agenda changes.
No changes. Thank you.
Brings us to public participation on non-agenda items. And we have one person signed up, Clark Damon. Clark, if you would come up to the right there and state your name and address, please.
Dr. Clark Damon, 1101 First Street, Douglas. And I'm here actually to talk about an agenda item, the $40,000 on the auto mechanics program. And I threw together an outline, presumably not very well. And I did take the computer instruction at the university last week, but for just one day I didn't learn very much. So you can see in my notes here, they're not very well organized. But what I intend to do is give a little background to the borough's participation and high school participation in the early 1970s. When I was a program chief and a T&I and ag supervisor for the state in the Division of Vocational Adult Education, which has, I think, disappeared permanently. It disappeared when I was there, and been revised by different organizations. We had community colleges at that time. Now that's part of the university, and I see it as a function of credits as opposed to work skills. And I look at our program across the street, the vocational building, which I take responsibility for because it had access to the ocean. And if I remember right, we came to the borough and it was borough property who donated or anyway arranged with the community college to acquire it. And so I think that the borough has some input as to that input, as if it is determined as what proportion was done. Why wasn't the Bill Ray Center located alongside the vocational facility on the ocean? Well, the reason is that I anticipated the marine occupation's need for training, and now I see that that's filled up with boats, which are rented out to Harry's Plumbing. That money goes into the university, but doesn't the borough have some input to claim that that's rental money as the initial plans that was made between community college and high school in the cooperative arrangements? How was the equipment in the vocational lab funded? I'm guessing now, because I left the division in about 75, and that was before this building was constructed, but the plans were well laid out at that time. I'm suspecting that there was 1973 vocational funds, federal funds, that are in the equipment and put there because of a joint plan between the city and the community college. I am responding to the article in the paper today under the section of auto mechanics.
Mr. Clark, excuse me, it's not Mr. Clark, but Mr. Damon, sorry. We have your written comments. Can you summarize?
Well, we looked down at item 5, and I haven't had a chance to find out here because I couldn't get an answer from you Friday and today. Where does our borough maintenance section get its employees from? Are any of them possibly high school graduates? The only auto mechanics training program in the area. So maybe the borough has some responsibility for the program because of the use of the employees it gets. Now, if we get down to the bottom wire here, what if we have to find some money? And again, I don't know because I couldn't contact you, is that possibly the school program could do some of the maintenance mechanical work for the borough. The insurance possibly would be taken care of because it's in a public entity and it would be not competing against private enterprise. What happens if we do not have at least 5 vocational programs in a district? Well, what happens is that we have a narrow limit of options for students to take, and we wind up tracking students into occupations which they're not satisfied in their future.
Okay, Mr. Damon, let me see if anyone on the assembly has any questions for you. Okay, we have your paper. So thank you for testifying.
Thank you.
No one else has signed up for testifying at this time. There will be another place in the agenda to receive public testimony. Which brings us to the consent agenda. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to request consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Does the assembly have any requests for consent agenda changes? Mr. Jones?
Mr. Mayor, I just want to advise you that by red folder, you have resolution 2821, different from what's in the packet, providing the updated interest rate information. Okay.
Assembly action. Mr. Nan Kirbis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of the consent agenda as presented with one modification, the updated resolution 2821, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, motion carried. Which brings us to public hearings. Ordinance 2018-04, Madam Clerk.
This is an ordinance amending the land use code relating to variances.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would amend CBJ Title 49 concerning variances. A person seeks a variance when they want to develop something that is prohibited by Title 49. Because a variance allows a person to violate the requirements of Title 49 that apply to everyone else, variances are only warranted in limited circumstances and the requirements should be vigorous. The current variance requirements have become so difficult to apply due to some nuanced criteria and how past variances were decided. This ordinance, one, clarifies which provisions of Title 49 are subject to a variance, two, clarifies the process used to evaluate variances, and three, creates new variance criteria to sever the Board of Adjustment from its past variance decisions. On February 27, 2018, the Planning Commission recommended the Assembly adopt this ordinance. The Assembly Committee of the Whole heard this ordinance at its meeting on April 30, 2018, recommending it move forward to public hearing. Version B of the ordinance makes two small language changes at 49.22.30 and 49.22.40 shown in bold italics and some minor non-substantive formatting changes. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment on Ordinance 2018-04? Not, I will bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2018-04B, and I recommend unanimous approval.
Seeing and hearing no objection, that motion is carried. Ordinance 2018-23, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance authorizing the manager to execute a lease of the Eagle Valley Center Ropes Challenge Course located near Amalca Harbor to Southeast Alaska Independent Living Incorporated.
Mr. Manager.
The CBJ has owned the Eagle Valley Center since 1997. Between 97 and 2015, the facility was leased to Saga. When the lease expired in 2015, it was not renewed. Southeast Alaska Independent Living contacted CBJ to lease a portion of the facility, the Ropes Challenge Course. Sales proposal is to improve and upgrade the course, facilitating its availability to sales clients as well as residents of Juneau. At its January 8, 2018 meeting, the Assembly authorized the manager to commence lease negotiations with sale under 5309-260. Planning Commission found the proposal consistent with the comprehensive plan and Title 49 at its February 27, 2018 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance. Just a second.
And this ordinance would authorize the leasing of the facility for less than fair market value in recognition of sales nonprofit status and their commitment to upgrade and improve the course at their expense.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2018-23 and ask for unanimous consent.
Ms. Gladyszewski.
I would just object for the purposes of a question. The question is, this use seems to be the same as the last use, so I was unclear about what the Planning Commission had to say about it. We asked for you to negotiate a lease, and then it went to the Planning Commission. I wanted to know what that was about.
There was this issue has actually been bouncing around the CBJ for quite a long time. It was unsettled whether it was going to be a use permit or a management agreement or a lease. The first iteration of the agreement that came over suggested it would be a management agreement. That document was drafted and went back to the department. The department made some comments. It came back. It was now a lease. That's when lands got involved. It came to the assembly to authorize the lease provisions. You authorized the negotiation of that. That went to the planning commission. And then it didn't, the terms weren't worked out for quite a while. So it's the same issue. The planning commission authorized the lease. This is the lease that the planning commission reviewed.
The Planning Commission talks about uses of property and whether you can do X in X place. If this was already leased for this purpose to X organization and now we're leasing it to Y organization, I don't understand what the Planning Commission had to do about that.
The entire Eagle Valley Center had been leased previously. This is just a lease for the ropes course.
Okay. I remove my objection.
Okay. Mr. Nankervis.
Mr. Mayor, I was just pointing out that the manager had his hand up there. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, so this was not a use permit through Title 49. It was the Planning Commission reviewing the land lease in Title 53.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Gregory has asked for unanimous consent. Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the motion is carried. Ordinance 2018-26, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the Property Maintenance Code to reference the International Property Maintenance Code 2012 edition.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance updates the International Property Maintenance Code reference from 2009 to 2012 in CBJ 1911-010 International Property Maintenance Code as adopted. With Ordinance 2017-01 adopted June 5th, 2017, Title IX was amended to reference the 2012 International Codes. This housekeeping ordinance makes the above referenced update, which was inadvertently overlooked. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing and hearing none, I will bring this back to the Assembly. Ms. Weldon.
I move that we adopt Ordinance 2018-26 and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, the ordinance is adopted. Ordinance 2018-27.
An ordinance authorizing the sale of foreclosed property located at 333 West 9th Street by sealed competitive bid.
Mr. Manager.
On January 11, 2018, the city obtained a clerk's deed for property located at 333 West 9th Street for delinquent property taxes owed from tax year 2015. Delinquent property taxes are also owed for tax years 2016 and 2017. Alaska Statute 2945-460 requires a municipality to determine by ordinance whether foreclosed property deeded to the municipality be retained for a public purpose or not. If not, the property can be sold. This ordinance establishes that the property is not required by the CBJ for a public purpose and authorizes the sale of the property by sealed competitive bid. I recommend you adopt this ordinance after hearing additional information from the municipal attorney.
Madam Attorney.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The owner of record of this property has passed away. Her granddaughter, Ms. Johnson, has recently retained an attorney to help her with the settling of the estate. A probate case has been filed recently. It's the CBJ's intent to hold off selling of the property to allow the personal representative, Ms. Johnson, to try and sell the property herself. The CBJ would then be paid, the back taxes would be paid out of those proceeds. Ms. Johnson is here if you have any questions, but we wanted the Assembly to know that even though we are asking that the Assembly approve this ordinance, which would give the CBJ the authorization to go forward if needed. The intent is to wait and let the estate case proceed and hopefully deal with the property in that manner.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Glashevsky.
I move Ordinance 2018-27. And ask, I would move Ordinance 2827. And there's a question.
Okay. Mr. Kale?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess a question for the city attorney. I'm not clear if CBJ holds a clerk's deed post-foreclosure. How does it work for the representative of the estate to include the sale in probate?
So there are two ways that we can proceed, and actually Ms. Handler and I were talking about this today. Either the CBJ will go ahead with the auction, and then the proceeds from the sale will pay the back taxes with the remainder going to the estate, or there could theoretically be a facilitated sale through a realtor where the Ms. Johnson brings an interested buyer forward. The CBJ is paid out of those proceeds and then deeds the property through Ms. Johnson to the new owner. It's a more complicated transaction, but I am told Ms. Handler that we'd be willing to work with her to figure that out. In either case, the property will be sold and the CBJ backs taxes will be paid regardless.
Mr. Gill.
So following up then, if the second route, I mean, this ordinance says buy, sealed, competitive bid. If you go the other route, are we going to need another ordinance then?
We would not be selling the property via the other route, which under state law, the record of owner has the right to repurchase the property for 10 years, for up to 10 years, unless the property has been sold. So as long as we don't take any action to sell, she has the right to do something with the property or to repurchase it back.
I think that cleared it up for me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Any other questions? The motion has been moved. Is there objection to the motion? Ordinance 2018-27 has passed. Ordinance 2017-06 AM, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $50,000 as funding for Juneau Community Foundation's park program, funding provided by the sales tax fund's fund balance.
Mr. Manager.
This appropriation of $50,000 to the Juneau Community Foundation completes the intent of the fiscal year 17 budget. The Assembly Finance Committee forwarded this recommendation to the full Assembly for approval at its meeting on April 11, 2018. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Okay, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Jones.
Oh, no, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2017-06-AN. I have a feeling I'm not getting unanimous consent.
I will.
Do either of you wish the maker of the motion to speak or the objector to the motion, Mr. Jones?
Thank you. I think at the Finance Committee meeting, in previous meetings, I had raised some concerns about this going to the Community Foundation. I did meet with the Community Foundation. I think I probably even voted to move this forward to the Assembly. But I've still been giving this a lot of thought, and I can't support this going to the Community Foundation. I wish we had another alternative. But so just with that, I'm going to maintain my objection.
Okay. Further discussion? Seeing and hearing none, the clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Logan?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, that brings us to, I believe, Ordinance 2017-06-AQ, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $20,000 as funding for Capital City Fire Rescue, grant funding provided by the State of Alaska, Department of Environmental Conservation.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would provide funding from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation in the amount of $20,000. City and Borough of Juneau will receive up to $20,000 upon the completion of purchases, equipment, supplies, maintenance, and training agreed upon per request made to DEC from Capital City Fire Rescue. CBJ will provide DEC a final invoice of all expenses, including supporting documentation and any invoices and purchase orders connected with the purchase of agreed equipment, supplies, maintenance, and training. CBJ will work with DEC to develop and implement procedures to initiate responses to oil and hazardous substance incidences according to the ADEC Local Community Response Agreement. All expenditures for this MOU must be completed by June 30, 2018. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Okay, is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment? I'll bring this back to the assembly. Ms. Becker.
I move that the ordinance 2017-06AQ be accepted by the assembly and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, the motion is carried. Ordinance 2017-06AR, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $100,000 as funding for Juneau Community Foundation, funding provided by the sales tax fund balance.
Mr. Manager.
This appropriation of $100,000 of sales tax funds to the manager will provide funding to the Juneau Community Foundation as an operating grant to work with Trail Mix to perform repair work on the Treadwell Ditch Trail. This $100,000 was allocated to the Montana Creek Loop Road to Community Gardens Trail in the 2012 temporary sales tax. This proposed section of trail is unbuildable due to flooding. The Parks and Rec Advisory Committee recommended this funding be granted to JCF at its July 11, 2017 meeting. Public Works and Facilities Committee recommended this funding be granted to JCF at its February 26, 2018 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Bring it back to the assembly. Mr. Dan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance 2017-06AR and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, the motion is carried. Bring us to it. I don't have page 10. And you want to hand me that, please? Thank you. All right. Unfinished business. Ordinance 2018-12B. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for FY19 school district operations.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate to the school district a fiscal year 19 operating budget of $85,799,900. This is an overall decrease in the budget of $1.5 million from the fiscal year 18 adopted budget. The school district's operating budget consists of general operations, $70,161,000, special revenue, including pupil transportation food service, $7,194,500, student activities, other, $8,444,400. The fiscal year 19 school budget is supported with a combination of funding sources that includes local funding of $27,789,100. This consists of $26,412,600 for general operations and $1,376,500 for programs and activities outside of the cap. These programs and activities include $1,181,500 for student activities, $50,000 for pupil transportation, $50,000 for food service, and $95,000 for community schools.
The $26.4 million in general operations support is an increase of $0.6 million over fiscal year 18 amended. The other program and activities funding is an increase of $0.5 million over fiscal year 18. The original ordinance was introduced at the April 4, 2018 Special Assembly meeting and referred to the Assembly Finance Committee for deliberation. On April 25, 2018, a Special Assembly meeting was held to hear public comment and for the Assembly to state by motion the amount of local funding to be provided to the school district. The Assembly Finance Committee approved and moved the ordinance back to the full Assembly for action at its May 9, 2018 meeting. Charter requires adoption by May 31st, 2018. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Mr. Bartholomew, do you want to come up, please? Mr. Finance Guru, could you tell us how a couple days ago?
Sunday morning, 1:48 a.m., but who's counting?
All right. Action by the legislature affected this.
Yes, and I'll walk you through it, and I'll look at Mr. Means to make sure that I keep it on track. So the legislature adopted $20 million of one-time funding to be spread across the school districts, and that resulted in an additional funding coming from the school district and additional ability for us to contribute. But the school district budget had also included an increase in the base student allocation, and since that didn't happen, there's two actions that triggered. There'll be a reduction in their budget as it would have been funded through the base student allocation formula, and then there was an increase from a one-time grant that just provides funding for FY19. So the sum difference of those combined is the school district gets $243,000 less than they would have in their requested budget, but we're taking everything we can and funding it to the cap. And our contribution of $26,400,000 will be reduced by $45,500. So again, there would be a $45,500 reduction in local funding, and there would be a $197,800 reduction in state funding. Both the school district and I recommend that we don't need to amend the ordinance tonight, that in a $70-85 million budget, this adjustment is pretty small, and that we're required to come back again in February when we have final student enrollment. So we would just do a combined adjustment of these reductions and whatever the outcome is of final enrollment in February. So I think the school board and the finance department are comfortable that the ordinance in front of you accurately reflects the school funding.
Any questions, Mr. Jones?
Thank you. Not so much on that one, but maybe Ms. Walden probably has the same question. In the narrative from the manager, it says $50,000 for pupil transportation. I believe Ms. Weldon moved to add an additional $40,000 to that at the Finance Committee meeting above the cap, and that was approved. So is that additional $40,000 in pupil transportation reflected in the actual dollar amount, or do we have to make that adjustment later too?
Mr. Jones, I think at the Finance Committee, Ms. Weldon's motion was withdrawn, because we had research to do to find out the appropriateness. And so both the superintendent and I researched that, and we talked with Mr. Means, and that auto shop funding is really part of core education. There are not other costs remaining under the cap that are eligible for outside the cap. So the understanding from the school district is that at this point we don't have a path to providing that $40,000 in funding.
Oh, I guess I never heard the withdrawal. I thought we actually had voted on it. So I didn't hear the withdrawal of the motion. I heard the request for the information, and I heard the superintendent say he would try to get that information.
Okay. Madam Attorney, then Ms. Welt.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, in response to a question that you had this last week on this issue about the automotive lease amount, we contacted the Department of Education, who advised that if there is a special revenue fund identified for the lease that is basically untouchable, that there is a way to fund that piece.
Okay. Ms. Weldon.
So I would amend my question. But, yes, Mr. Jones, I withdrew it because they were going to research the legality of it, but it sounds like they've found an answer. So, Madam Attorney, how do we make that happen?
You must identify a special revenue fund for those funds that cannot be used for anything else. So it cannot be just a regular appropriation that would make it fall within the cap. It has to be a dedicated special revenue fund.
Such as?
That is outside of my scope of authority to discuss, but the Department of Education said that they would be willing to speak with us to give us a good roadmap for how that occurs. This was the answer that we got, though. So it would be identifying a funding source for that amount.
Ms. Weldon, do you have a follow-up?
I'm asking the Assembly to have an attorney tasked to find this special revenue fund so we can make this happen. It's okay with the Assembly.
Ms. Bratishevsky.
I don't understand what that means. A special revenue fund that says special revenue fund for auto shop, special revenue fund for anything, for repaving roads. I don't understand what that means, a special revenue fund.
Something that is not just a general appropriation out of, like as you do every year, approving their budget. It has to be something that's specifically identified for the lease, that is a pot that is not touchable and used for other things. I don't think that she meant the pot can't be used for other CDBG things, like it can't be a particular fund source. I think she meant that there has to be a revenue fund source specifically for this project that is funded separately from the school budget. But I can bring more information back. We only just found this out.
Mr. Manager?
Mr. Mayor, I would suggest that we adopt the district's budget tonight and schedule this extra issue when we have time at a finance committee meeting. I'm sure we're going to have one at some point before too long.
Just not this week.
Not this week.
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The manager just stole what I was going to say. I move we adopt ordinance 2018-12B, and I would ask for unanimous consent. I may speak to my motion.
You may.
Because I think we can get that done tonight, and if we start talking about the other money, we will get sidetracked tonight. But I also think the manager was correct that this is a good topic for a separate meeting. Thank you.
Further discussion? Mr. Teal.
Just one request. I was trying to take notes as Mr. Bartholomew gave us the breakdown of the difference between $100 in the BSA and the roughly $80 in the BSA equivalent that came through the $20 million one. Mr. Bartholomew, could you email that to us later? That would be very helpful to have written down.
Yep, and did we put the, okay. And there's also a letter from the school district that we'll provide that has a narrative to go with it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Any objection to the motion? The motion is carried. Ordinance 2018-13. B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance creating local improvement district number 200 for a riverbank stabilization project along the Mantell River between 9399 River Court Way and 3463 Meander Way, and appropriating the sum of $5,095,000.
Mr. Manager.
At its meeting on April 23, 2018, the Assembly continued the hearing on Ordinance 2018-13B, which would create a local improvement district, LID 200, for a riverbank stabilization project on the Mendenhall River between River Court Way and the north end of Meander Way. As proposed, the riverbank stabilization project will be done in conjunction with the National Resources Conservation Service Emergency Watershed Protection Program. NRCS would fund the design, inspection, and construction administration plus 75% of the estimated construction costs. Total cost of the project, including the construction costs, is estimated to be $11,425,000. CBJ's estimated contribution to the project would be $3,015,000, which includes the assessment to be paid by the CBJ as a property owner within the LID, but does not include costs associated with maintaining the riverbank protection structure for a period of 10 years, as would be required. The property owner's combined contribution through the LID would be fixed at $2,080,000 or $80,000 per property. The remaining costs would be paid with federal funding. To accommodate CBJ's public process and the attempt to form an LID that would allow for owner financing, NRCS had previously granted several project deadline extensions. However, after the Assembly extended the hearing to tonight's meeting on May 14th, NRCS advised the CBJ in writing that they are unwilling to further extend the project funding deadline and have removed the project from the national funding wait list. There are several tasks that would have to be completed with CBJ funds in order to access the federal funding, including obtaining project permitting and all easements, both of which would require lengthy processes and local funding. If the Assembly votes to adopt this ordinance, it would need to be amended to specify that the creation of the LID is contingent upon the reinstatement of federal funding. I recommend you reject this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing and hearing none, I'll bring this back to the Assembly. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll pass.
Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2018-13B.
Okay.
Object.
Okay. The maker of the motion wishes to speak to it.
Mr. Mayor, this is an awkward one. I also object to this motion.
That's okay. It's stated in a positive manner, and that's what's supposed to happen.
I have several concerns about this ordinance, the first of which is that it creates an unfair situation for other members of our community, that the City and Borough of Juneau contribute a large sum of money to the natural disaster and occurrence that is occurring in this neighborhood. We don't have a policy to handle other homes in the community that might be affected by a natural disaster, is my first concern. My second concern is that if the City and Borough of Juneau were to become involved in this project, it is known that there is some chance that stabilization of the Meander Way Bank has the possibility of unanticipated bank destabilization resulting from changes to currents, which may cause other hydrological consequences both upstream and down, and I would not want the City and Borough of Juneau to be responsible for further destabilization occurring as a result of this work. Another issue for me is that when the homeowners purchase their homes in this neighborhood, they purchase their homes along a river, and it is known that rivers do move. and that they don't always stay in their place where when these houses were built. Another issue that I have with this LID is that this LID runs the risk of causing a serious financial burden for the families and individuals that live in that neighborhood, and some of those families may not be able to afford this LID should it occur.
Okay. Mr. Edwardson, followed by Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with everything that Mr. Gregory said. As far as my background with the issue goes, it predates my involvement with the assembly here. I was the authorization authority for land use requests for erosion control projects on the Mendenhall River. And in that position, I helped to write the policy portion of a white paper along with one of the managers that worked for me. As far as the Mendenhall River goes. So I've researched this pretty extensively. And within that research, many of the things that we found indicated that this isn't a natural disaster. This is kind of an inevitable result of a young braided river. It's going to erode, and the erosion isn't going to be predictable. It is predictable in the sense that it's going to happen, and so predictable, in fact, that it's been written on the plat notes and it was written on the survey notes long ago that it is going to happen. There are methods to get authorization for erosion control projects through the city, through the Corps of Engineers, through Fish and Game, through the Department of Natural Resources. Many people have gotten those authorizations. Many of the people who are on that this list have received authorizations and not finalized them. So there is a route for people to protect their property without doing the LID. In my previous position, I was excited about the LID because I assumed that there would be any number of property owners who would want to take part in it. And if they wanted to take part in it, then it wouldn't really cost the city all that much money, except for a significant investment in staff time. So I look at the list here, the 514 list of support and oppose, and 17 of the 26 property owners did not support. So the count itself is 9 supported, 9 opposed, 8 didn't answer. So I'm not going to go on too long about this, but there is an opportunity for property owners to protect their property. The amount that we would ask unaffected property owners to pay could be enormous to move forward with the LID, and I think that would cause quite a few legal problems, since in order to continue, we would have to take the properties through basically a condemnation process or another similar process. They would oppose, it would be expensive, and nobody knows where that would end up. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me start with maybe just a cleanup so that we can discuss this. Discuss this as a functional piece, and that would be an amendment to Section 16, the effective date, that would just add the sentence, creation of LID 200 under this ordinance is contingent on the NRCS, including the project, in the NRCS EWP. So just as the manager said, this would be contingent on getting back in the federal program.
Are you offering that as an amendment?
That as an amendment, yeah.
Is there a discussion on the amendment?
State your motion, please.
If I may, Mr. Mayor?
Certainly.
The creation of LID 200 under this ordinance is contingent on the NRCS, including the project in the NRCS EWP. That's just designed to do exactly what the manager said.
Is there objection to that amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is accepted.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I may speak then to the main motion.
Motion as amended.
As amended. Thank you. This has been a really tough issue, and we spent a lot of time and effort on it. I guess to respond to some of what other assembly members have said tonight, the notion that the treatment isn't equal it simply reflects the fact that not all homes are in the same places. In my neighborhood, the city maintains sidewalks on two sides of the street. In Mr. Nankervis's neighborhood, there's often no sidewalk maintained by the city. In some neighborhoods, the city there are far more city parks. In other neighborhoods, there are fewer. We benefit differently based on any number of situations. What we have here is a set of properties that have a unique risk and are serving right now as the buffer to city infrastructure as they continue to wash away. So I'm not concerned that this isn't a proposal to somehow armor every riverbank in the CBJ, because that's not what's needed. I have heard from a couple of folks this idea that because it is a dynamic river, somehow, or maybe in spite of the fact that it's a dynamic river, somehow this project will create some kind of risk up and down river. The river is changing along its length, right? We recently had an issue with a pipe down by the Mendenhall wastewater treatment plant because the river is changing. And the bank, it's downcutting, it's getting deeper. We also recently spent a fair chunk of money upriver to armor a pipe that used to be buried under the Mendenhall River over to Silver Street that was starting to flap in the current. So it's downcutting up there too. The river is changing all along its length, and where it poses a threat to the infrastructure, we need to respond. Now, we fix that pipe upriver with 100% city funds, so I don't even know if that came back to the assembly for action. It was just what needed to be done, so we did it. And, you know, we bore the cost. We're going to bear the cost at this stretch of river either sooner or later, either as a shared cost or as a strictly city cost. If we wait until homes wash into the river, property is lost, and it's time to armor Meanderway itself. So it only makes sense to me to use this federal program and contributions from the homeowners to some extent. And we see in the numbers here, that's not the majority by any stretch, to deal with this problem. Just before he became our city manager, I heard an engineer speak to a Chamber of Commerce function, and he said something that's really stuck with me. He said, great things happen in great cities. And you can't have great cities if they're crumbling. I was talking about a different issue. But you can't have a great city if we just allow the river to eat away our largest single residential area. Doesn't work. It is a young and dynamic river. Mr. Edwardson's absolutely correct. And I don't think we can afford to let it wander across the Mendenhall Valley. I wish we were in a position where there was lots of land and we could say don't build near rivers that are moving, but that's not where we live. So we're going to deal with this sooner or later, and I think the much more efficient way is to deal with it now. I know that we've heard a lot of concerns about the opportunities of some of various property owners to do this on their own or do something like it on their own, hopefully enough. And the last time we talked about this, I talked about the litigation risks and the fights among neighbors that can come up if we leave it to a hodgepodge and everybody doing what they think might be enough or not. And our economy will fare better, I think, if people put those resources into other things than into fighting one another in court. And that's another opportunity we have as a city to do this single project from one stable point on the river to another and solve this problem so that Juneau can move forward. So I would ask everybody on the assembly to vote yes for this. Thank you.
Ms. Fladyshevsky.
This has been a complicated project. We've talked about it for over 2 years when we first heard about it at the Public Works Committee over 2 years ago. Lots of questions about liability and the city getting into issues like this. Ultimately, I became convinced that it was something that we should, the city and borough of Juneau as a community, should be involved in. And as we progressed through this, it became clear, however, that the neighborhood who is most involved is not clear about that. The latest numbers we have are 9 for, 9 against, and a lot silent. I don't know whether that means they're for it or against it, but it's at least clear to say that the neighborhood is not clearly for it. So it's not just a matter of whether the borough assembly thinks the river needs stabilization. There are property owners involved, and there are some vehemently opposed to this who will and have pledged to make it difficult for the city to proceed. So I was willing to take some risk that as a community we would take to cap the residents' contribution at 80,000. I know that more residents would liked it when their cap was 40,000. That didn't seem right to me. The federal government was already picking up 75%, and the property owners who live on Meander Way, after all, were asking the citizens of Juneau to pick up another roughly 12% and have them only pick up 12% and have the city bear all the risk for any cost overrun. So that didn't seem quite fair. I'm surprised that the residents aren't willing to do this as aren't more willing. I think they're getting a pretty good deal, 75% paid by the federal government, and the additional risk picked up by the city, because I do agree with part of what Mr. Keel said about our role as a entire community, and I also agree that residents bought a home on Meander Way. So this is as far as I was willing to go, the 80,000. Residents who live there are not willing to support it, and it would be difficult for me to impose an $80,000 cost on lots of homeowners who are just not willing. It's one thing to have an LID for a street paving. That's a $5,000 assessment, and everybody not agree. But when you're talking about an $80,000 assessment, it seems more people should agree. So I'm going to vote no on this ordinance.
Any further discussion? Ms. Weldon?
I'll be quick. I'm also going to vote no. I, like Ms. Fladyshevsky, also initially thought was interested in this project, but as time's gone on, the price has gone further and further up. The project has gotten more and more complicated, and there's still many, many questions to be answered in the project. So my reasons with all three of these members here, I agree with all of them, but my two main reasons are the $80,000 to each property owner, obviously half of them aren't up to paying that $80,000, and also that the city would be liable for at least 10 years for maintenance, and any time they did anything, it would add another 10 years to their maintenance. So that's why I'm voting no.
Mr. Dan Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am also not going to support the motion. Sympathetic to the property owners that are out there. That's got to be pretty horrible. When this first came before us, I said that I would probably need to see 100% of the neighbors be on board with this. And as one of the other assembly members mentioned, it's gone down from, I think, roughly 80% to what I would argue is less than 50% as well. Not to mention that in addition to a really exorbitant LID assessment of $80,000, you tack onto that eminent domain, and I don't know which properties specifically or how many, but not only would we be charging, we have the potential to charge $80,000 per homeowner, we might be taking some of their land as well as we do that, and that is a really hard pill for me to swallow, even understanding the dire situation that some of them are in out there. And what nobody has mentioned yet is also one of the other stipulations with NRCS is that we would be responsible for 10 years after this was constructed. And every time we touch it, we are responsible for 10 years from the date that we touch it. So that could be our responsibility for a very long time. And that's my understanding, unless I misunderstood something in the explanation, but that means it could go on a very long time that the city is responsible for it, and not at 25%, but at 100% responsible to maintain it for 10 years and possibly every time you touch it for 10 years after that. So I wanted to be consistent that I said I probably wouldn't support it if there wasn't 100%, and like I said, we've gone with less approval for the project from the neighbors than we had when it originally came before me. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Mr. Jones?
No, thank you. It's been an interesting 2 years because, for me, I think this is an abject lesson in failure of government. You know, we had 85% approval. We had people on the no list that were yeses 2 years ago, two and a half years ago. Not only could we not figure out a way to be more responsive to the federal requirements. The feds took a long time to come up with this, and now they're basically saying, you know, you guys took so long, we're pulling out our tentative set aside for this project. And, you know, when you have a project that means a lot to the homeowners, and it means a lot financially, it means a lot to them, it's their home, to see them go from, yes, we need to do something now, to now saying, no, this project, you know, the way you're going about this and this project, and in one case, I think they've taken care of at least what they can do in front of their own property already and having spent their money. So really a failure in us getting together. And as Mr. Keel said, that river's changing. And I've watched, and I said this early on, I've watched what's going on up in Mat-Su, and they didn't do anything, and they didn't do anything. And all of a sudden, they got a whole bunch of state money to buy up people's property rather than watch that property go into the river and have them sue. So I suspect as our river changes and as the golf course gets more sand and dirt down that way because it's all coming down the river, there'll be a request to the legislature at some point by DNR to do something to protect the people on the banks of that river. So we will pay. We will just get less revenue sharing, or we'll get something else while the state picks up some of the cost. And maybe that's a good thing for municipalities to let the state do it. But that doesn't absolve us of our responsibility. And I feel bad for the property owners. I feel bad for the process because we talked so much and mucked around so much that we basically have turned this into a positive project in which the first two or three meetings I went to, we got almost total agreement. And we've turned it into this Donnybrook where nobody knows where they stand and most of the property owners aren't supportive of it. Just really shows our lack of ability to get things done. So I'm probably still going to support this just simply because I like to be on the losing side of votes, I guess. Thank you.
Ms. Vladishevsky.
I just wanted to respond briefly. This was a complicated project. When the costs started to go up, the community members, the property owners, began to question and worry about what they would be on the hook for. So I disagree that we did something improper. Our engineering department, our city manager's office, our departments worked diligently on this project. We can always sort of throw the federal government under the bus about how big of a thing they engineered, but it was not, in my opinion, somehow the city's fault when the costs started to go up, when more things started to come out about rules and requirements that the federal agency had. So just wanted to put that on the record.
Any further discussion? I guess I'd also like to go on record that it was a very difficult decision, and it is a difficult decision. I think we weighed the interest of CBJ taxpayers and a group that had a very difficult problem, has a very difficult problem. I don't think there was any slackening going on with anyone. I think none of us feel good about this type of a decision, but we all hung in there and tried to come up with a solution that was equitable. And if it is a solution that's equitable, it'll pass. If it's not, then we will vote on it and move on from there. All right, seeing no further discussion, will the clerk please call the roll? And will you restate the motion, please?
To adopt ordinance 2018-13B.
As amended.
As amended. Okay. Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
No.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
No.
Mayor Kelch?
No.
Motion failed, 3-6.
All right, let's take a 10-minute break and be back at 8:35.
Juno Jazz and Classics continues the music this week with two-time Grammy winner Richard Stoltzman on clarinet and Mika Stoltzman playing the marimbas for a unique concert Thursday evening, May 17th at 7 p.m., including the Vega Quartet and Richard playing Mozart's clarinet quintet. See you at the Jack. Tickets there, Hearthside, or jazzandclassics.org.
Hey, Homebridge with the Juno School District isn't just for big kids. By enrolling in Homebridge, you can use the generous allotment for students in grades K through 8 and apply it towards your child's homeschool education. Call 523-1821 for further information.
You are tuned to KTOO Juno. The time is 8:24, and we've been listening to the City and Borough of Juno Assembly meeting, and they've gone on a 10-minute break. We'll be back in about 9 minutes. Tonight, scattered showers, mainly before 10 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 41. Tomorrow, isolated showers before 10 a.m., mostly sunny with a high near 54. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high near 62. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 64. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 67. And we will listen to some music as we're waiting for the assembly to go back into order. Thank you.
Discussion. Ha, I do see Mr. Edwardson. I thought you were missing for a second. We're at the Southeast Alaska Land Trust versus CBJ Assessor, the appeal. I would ask the pleasure of the group whether you want to put this further on down or you'd like to deal with this now.
I'm happy to deal with it now, Mr. Chair.
All right. Southeast Land Trust versus CBJ Assessor Appeal.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to read the MR to you, but Ms. Moores is here to facilitate any substantive discussion you might have. At the regular Assembly meeting on July 31st, 2017, the Assembly accepted this appeal from Petitioner Southeast Alaska Land Trust regarding the assessor's denial of its charitable purpose exemption, considered by the assessor on remand by the Assembly. The Assembly referred the matter to a hearing officer, which was heard by the Office of Administrative Appeals. The hearing was held on March 29, 2018. The hearing officer issued her opinion on April 24th. The assessor's office submitted a timely notice of objection. Sealed Trust filed a statement in support. By notice dated May 7, 2018, the hearing officer declined to change her decision. The draft decision, the party's responses, and the hearing officer's reply have been provided to you for your review. You must decide whether to accept the draft decision as written, accept the decision with modifications, or reject it. CBJ Code 0151-40, subsection C, provides, unless rejected or modified by an affirmative vote of the appeal agency, which is the Assembly, on a motion to reject or modify the proposed decision as amended by the hearing officer, if such amendment has been filed, shall be deemed adopted by the agency and shall be your decision on appeal. You may not hear any testimony or consider any evidence. If the decision is rejected by you, the matter shall be immediately referred to the hearing officer for a rehearing of the appeal after notice to the parties. You may refer the matter to a different hearing officer. You may limit the scope of the rehearing to specific issues. You may request the hearing officer to reconsider the proposed decision solely in light of a new evidence raised in any objection. You can place different or similar limits or conditions on the hearing or rehearing or reconsideration by the hearing officer. You may remand the matter or you may hear the matter yourself after notice to all of the parties. That is your world of options. If you do want to hold a substantive discussion now, I'll ask Ms. Moores to come up.
Would you please come up? Ms. Moores, do you have any statements you would like to make before I turn this over to the...
The only thing I would point out is in the appeal code, the way it is set up is that this proposed decision comes before you at this meeting. In your packet was the proposed decision and the objection by the assessor and the statement by the hearing officer that she was not changing the decision. And if you do not do anything, it is deemed adopted as your decision. So you can take no action, or you can take action to amend or modify it. Or as Ms. Mead said, you can pretty much do anything because it becomes, it's your prerogative, it's your decision with what you do with it. I will say that in preparing for today, I was not positive what the hearing officer or administrative law judge had in front of her. And just so that you all know, she was provided the full record of all the proceedings below, 668 pages, I believe, or something like that. So just in case you're wondering, and the parties did the briefing, and I can certainly take any questions anyone has, but I think the material, you also should have gotten a copy of your decision on the appeal that remanded it, and I apologize for not getting that in the packet sooner. I realize that probably might have been something you'd want to consult, perhaps, because the decisions together would become your final decision.
Okay. Questions, Mr. Jones?
Two questions. And basically, it's on page 12 of the order. Well, and there's a little bit more, but it basically says the Seal Trust had requested the refund of the appeal fee And this states the matter whether to refund is left to the discretion of the assembly. Apparently, the law judge didn't find in there. And then the second one was the determination concerning payment of interest on the refunded taxes is up to the city manager. Is that actually how code reads? And we could tonight approve refunding of the appeal fee, and can we request that the manager pay the interest on the taxes refunded?
Yes, you could. Title 69 is 6910090 says that if a taxpayer pays taxes under a protest, the taxpayer may bring suit in the Superior Court against the municipality for recovery of the taxes. If judgment for recovery is given against the municipality, or, and this is the or part that applies here, if in the absence of suit it becomes obvious to the manager that judgment for recovery of the taxes would be obtained if legal proceedings were brought, the city and borough shall refund the amount of taxes to the taxpayer with interest at 8% from the date of payment plus costs. So, I mean, that would still be a decision you all, I guess, whether you would direct the manager to make that decision or not. But it's true that in our administrative appeal code, it doesn't talk about refunding taxes. That comes in our tax code.
Any other questions to the attorney? Are you ready for a motion? Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the assembly sitting in its quasi-judicial capacity adopt the administrative law judge's proposed decision.
Okay. Is there objection? Mr. Nan Purvis.
Thank you. I object.
Do you wish to speak to your objection?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do. I would actually reject this decision because I don't believe it is proper. I believe what we have, what we will be setting as a precedence here is that you can have vacant land, and if people go on it, you can say it is for a charitable purpose and therefore not pay taxes on it. I think it sets a horrible precedent for us in, excuse me for a moment, I'm going to try and find where I did make some notes in here. I think the follow-up information we asked for, the response was, and I will paraphrase here, that the director or somebody in a position of authority went out there and saw people on all 14 of the properties. And as I recall, there was a no trespassing sign on one of the properties. I agree with what the part of the conclusion on page 7 of 8 of the assessor's objection to proposed decision, packet page 312. Where it says that the sealed trust can continue receiving the community purpose exemption that the assessor has granted every time they applied for it, and that it doesn't qualify for a charitable purpose exemption. I think we are doing the wrong thing if we accept this decision, and I would say we don't and that we reject it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a reminder that I have not been involved in this process from start to finish. Therefore, I am, I believe, prohibited from participating in this vote tonight.
I would look to our law. Or advice.
I can tell you that we haven't... To my knowledge, had one of these things happen where we've had a hearing officer hear part of it and the assembly hear part of it. The Administrative Appeal Code does provide that if you don't participate, I can find the exact part. Ms. Mead might have it faster than I do. I'm looking for it.
I think we're looking for a lifeline here.
There is a provision under 015140B, that subsection 2, a member of the appeal agency who has not heard the evidence in person at the hearing may not participate in the decision. So you you would have to consider this to be part of one big hearing and not two separate.
Which I think in my reading, I can just say that I think because you heard all the evidence the first time, you remanded on a particular issue, the final decision is based on all the evidence, which includes what you heard as well as what you, the issue that you remanded back to the hearing officer. I mean, I think it's a gray area, truly, when it comes to this decision, whether or not they can participate, but I was, that was my reading of it.
Okay. Mr. Edwardson.
Mr. Mayor, I fall into the same category.
Now, is that a legal opinion, or is it an assembly prerogative to excuse members?
Well, I would say usually these things would be objected to by the parties. So if neither party objected and they wanted everybody to vote, I think there would not be a problem. We don't have the parties here to make that call. And I think it's the best interpretation. It's a gray area. In my legal opinion, it's a gray area, and so I'm just trying to interpret the best I can based on the fact that the hearing officer was not hearing the entire thing from the get-go. You heard the first part. You remanded it back. This decision is taking all of that into account. So that's how I, you know. But I, Ms. Mead, I don't see any reason why she can't advise you as well.
I cannot advise. I'm
on that interpretation. Okay, whatever.
All right. Mr. Keel?
Mr. Mayor, I would respectfully take a slightly different different interpretation. The hearing officer's decision is pretty clearly laid out, and while it lays gives the history of the first appeal, it refers to it as such, and then talks about the second decision on remand and the appeal from that, which is really what's before us today. So what we have is an issue that we had heard by a hearing officer on this second appeal. And while the first decision of the assembly is a part of that, and what Mr. Nankervis was talking about, what we have before us tonight is the hearing officer's decision on the second appeal.
So you would be not in favor of excusing the two gentlemen, or in favor of excusing the two gentlemen?
Not in favor, Mr. Mayor. We were all on when we took the second appeal.
Can I just say one more? I think it's a pretty low risk, so I'm not trying to make it like absolutely. It is a gray area, I think, in this case. So I think...
Mr. Jones.
I agree with Mr. Keel. None of us participated in what the law judge heard. We're all reading the opinion. And I think the two members can read the opinion just like all the rest of us. And on this issue, I would ask them to participate and vote.
Anyone else that wants to chime in? Ms. Bladyszewski.
I would say the same. If we're talking about just that issue, it is just, in my view, it is about what the judge wrote. So, in spite of what you said. So, that's what I think. I think they could vote.
Okay. Three of you, Bill. Is there, let's put this in the positive. Is there objection to Mr. Gregory or Mr. Edwardson participating? Gentlemen, you are participating.
As long as you're ready.
All right. We have a motion before us. And we have an objection. Is there further discussion? Ms. Weldon.
I have just a couple questions of the attorney, please. Mr. Nankervis reminded me that one of the properties did say no trespassing. Is it included in these 14 properties, or was there a 15th property? I don't remember.
It is included. I believe that was one where that the, and again, this is based on the record below that you heard before, I think in the packet of materials that there was other access. To answer your question, yes, it is included. That is one of the parcels. I'll stop. That is one of the parcels included.
Mr. Keel?
Two things. My recollection is that it had a no parking sign on the street side. It didn't have no trespassing signs. But more to the point, that was something that was at issue in the first appeal. That's not what's at issue in this appeal. So I appreciate Ms. Van Kervis's argument, but it really is an argument that goes to the issues in the first appeal, not this appeal.
Further discussion?
Just in general, I think that the administrative law judge has laid out a logical reasoning for her opinion, I think we should support it. It goes in the detail and answers the things needed to answer, and I would urge the assembly members to support the decision.
Okay. Seeing no further discussion, I'm going to call for the vote.
Do we have the motions restated, please?
Certainly.
To adopt the decision of the hearing officer in the matter of Southeast Alaska Land Trust versus CBJ Assessor, OAH-917-0877.
Thank you. Will you call the roll, please?
Yep. Okay. Ms. Bartoszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Mayor Kels?
No.
Motion carries. 7-2.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Jones?
Thank you. I would move that the assembly request that the city manager refund the seal trust appeal fee.
Okay, is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that motion carried. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would also move that the assembly instruct the manager to pay the interest on the refunded taxes. Is that a proper motion? The attorney's looking at me like no.
I'm not, Mr. Jones, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, that's the motion then.
Is there a discussion? Yes.
I guess, Mr. Mayor, I have to apologize. I am not particularly conversant with this section of the tax code, and I don't know whether that's a direction we need to give or if that is something that remains within the manager's discretion. That's not one I did my homework on before the meeting.
Code is set up that it is to the manager to decide based on whether or not it's something to avoid somebody filing suit for recovery. It is a discretion of the manager, and I will confess to not knowing exactly where the line is drawn when you want to advise or direct the manager in a certain way. So I'm just reading the code to you that if it appears that if the taxpayer went to the Superior Court and would be entitled to a recovery, then the manager may do that without requiring the lawsuit. And since, I'll stop at that.
I'll withdraw the motion. It says in here that they're entitled to the taxes back, and if that's a decision under code, that's up to the city manager. I'll leave it there.
All right. Seeing no further discussion on this particular old business, we will move on to new business. Export manufacturing property tax exemptions. Mr. Manager.
Property owners seeking a manufacturing property tax exemption must file a request with the assessor's office on or before January 31st of each year. The code places the authority for approving the manufacturing exemption requests with the assembly. For 2018, two companies have requested the tax exemption, Alaska Glacier Seafood, Inc. and AcBev Group, LLC, the Alaskan Brewery. CBJ 6910-02010 provides for exempting qualifying manufacturing property from assessment and taxation. Qualifying property may receive a declining five-year percentage exemption from the property's market value as follows: 100% exemption year one, 80% year two, 60% year three, 40% year four, and 20% in year five. Total property value requested for exemptions this year is $1,049,282. This would result in a tax loss of $11,222. Individual company amounts are detailed in the meeting packet materials. The assessor's office reviewed the exemption applications and determined that the properties met the code requirements. Assembly Finance Committee reviewed this issue at its April 11, 2018 meeting and recommended forwarding the tax exemptions for 2018 to the full Assembly for approval. I recommend you approve these exemptions.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify on this? Seeing and hearing none, I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Welton.
I move that we approve these exemptions. I'll try it again. I move that we approve the export manufacturing tax property tax exemptions for Alaska Glacier Seafood, Inc. and AKBev Group, LLC. And ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, that motion is carried. Staff reports.
Mr. Mayor, packet page 328, you have a memo from me on the Eagle Rock Ventures and 2nd and Franklin property. The expiration date for the right to purchase for that property is coming this week, May 18th. And as I reported at the Finance Committee on April 18th, ERV has reported they've spent in excess of $80,000 trying to find an economical project, not including their principal's time. They would like to continue to try to develop the property and have offered to present their experiences to the Finance Committee. And as the Assembly is considering implementing economic development tax incentives as authorized by SB 100, I think this is a very good opportunity to become educated about this developer's particular experiences trying to develop housing in the downtown core. If we extend the date on the purchase and sales agreement, we would continue to beneficially use the property as parking in the interim, as we have been doing so for some time. So my recommendation would be to pass a motion directing the manager to extend the PSA investigation period for another 12 months and invite ERV to present and take questions and answers at a future Finance Committee meeting.
Is there any public comment on this? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Blatoszewski.
I would move that the manager extend the PSA investigation period for another 12 months and invite ERV to a future Finance meeting to discuss their experiences.
Is there objection? No. Ms. Blatoszewski, do you wish to speak to your motion?
No, yes. I think that it's they have spent some time and money on this, and I would like to hear their experiences. They're still diligently working from what I understand. Thank you.
Ms. Weldon and then Mr. Jones.
So I would object because we've already given them one extension and they don't seem to be getting too far. I would like to hear from them. So I would offer as an amendment to go for another 3 months. And let's hear from them and see what they are doing before we give them the whole another year.
Okay, we have an amendment. Is there a discussion on the amendment? Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I would ask the city manager, and you might not have even considered 3 months, but did you consider 3 months, or is there a reason you wouldn't want to do that short of a time?
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I did. So 12 months I would say is not a magic number. Given that the ERV principal was willing to come here on his own nickel to tell us about how he had unsuccessfully spent $80,000 and a lot of his own time, I thought that was a pretty good showing of effort on their part. And that's why I suggested a year. I have seen a lot of evidence of them trying. Clearly, they have not been successful. But if we are to understand the lack of investment in housing projects downtown, I think we have a lot to learn. And we want to I picked 12 months because I wanted to send the right message a message to him that we were very interested in hearing what he had to say.
Mr. Gregory.
I do have a question regarding any other interest in the lot. Have we had any other developers or folks that have wanted to acquire the lot recently?
Mr. Mayor, I can't recall, and there's certainly no formal questions, although we also, of course, are not soliciting for interest. I think there a low level of episodic questions of what is happening is about all I've gotten. People tend to pay attention to the limited opportunities in the downtown real estate market. That's how I would characterize that.
I'm sorry, Mr. Did I forget you, Mr. Jones?
That's fine. We were talking about the amendment. I don't have anything to say on the amendment.
Okay. Anything else on the amendment?
I object.
Okay. I would support the amendment. I think that these guys have had the opportunity to have control of that particular situation for well over a year, and the 3 months will send a message that we do want to hear from them, and hopefully soon, and at that stage we can extend it if we hear what we think that makes sense. But it doesn't give them carte blanche, and it would allow other people to start considering this aside from this particular entity. So I think 3 months is a reasonable amount of time. And we put it off, obviously, because we were right in the middle of the budget and didn't want to try to accommodate someone in the middle, not in the middle, at the end of the budget, when we're up against a deadline in May, as they are in May. So I think extending it 3 months is a very good compromise. We have an objection, so the clerk would please call the roll on the amendment.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
5A, 4A. Motion passed.
Okay, we're back to the main motion as amended. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Beat a dead horse here. We started out with 2.5 years ago with an offer to purchase this land. We didn't accept it. We put out a 30-day or 60-day solicitation to see if anybody else was interested. Nobody else was interested. We punted and we put it back out again for a longer period of time. I think somebody recruited Eagle Rock Ventures to come in. The local interest that initially put in the application dried up. And we've been sitting here spinning our wheels while they've been trying to figure out how to make it economical for them. We first put it out that it had to have commercial on the bottom and housing up above. It had to preserve a certain number of parking spaces, which dampened interest and ability. We've done everything we could not to sell this property and just keep this dangling. If, in fact, they have some suggestions that would help us, if we did what the manager says here, look at Senate Bill 100 and figure out a local program for that, which we had some discussion that wasn't very positive at our one meeting, then I don't think we should be dangling Eagle Rock Ventures out there, because if we do something, there may be others that would want to come in, and we don't want to commit this property for that long a time if we're going to do something else, because then it takes away any competition for that particular piece of land. So for that reason, I think we should just end Eagle Rock Ventures. If the city still wants to sell it, if we do something under Senate Bill 100, we need to reconsider the conditions we put on land sales that make it impossible for somebody to buy the land because they can't figure out a way to build what the city wants them to build on the land we sell to them. So for that reason, I think it's time that we end this. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk, restate the motion?
Okay.
Please.
To extend the ERV agreement to 3 months and to invite them to speak to a future finance meeting.
Okay. Mr. Gregory?
Thank you. I do have a question regarding our original sales discussion, and I cannot recall if that required parking. Mr. Jones, it did not require parking? Or Mr. Manager?
Not manager.
Mr. Mayor, I believe Mr. Jones is referencing a solicitation prior to Eagle Rock Ventures' application, and I'm not entirely familiar with all the details. I think Mr. Jones probably has a better historical view on that.
But parking was not a requirement in this one. That's your question.
Thank
for
you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Right. Any further questions on the motion?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Jones?
Parking may not have been an initial or a requirement under this, but parking is always a requirement on any development downtown. And I believe in ERV's initial proposal was that they were going to pay the parking in lieu of fee. But even that requires that they provide a certain amount of parking. And I think that's part of the hang-up. So it may not be specific in here, but even under our code, even if they paid a parking fee, parking in lieu of, there's still a minimum number of parking spots that are required. They can't exempt themselves from all of them. Yeah, I don't think it's initially in this one, but there's still some requirement.
Great. Will you go ahead and call the roll, please?
Okay. Ms. Bartoszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Everson?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Douglas Highway Water Main Project. Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I actually do not have a staff report.
again on this, so we can remove that from the agenda.
Can we have a brief at ease?
Yes. And I thought we're going to just move along, but no.
Breeze right through. Easy.
No worries.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I do have a staff report.
Mr. Manager, all right.
We bid the reconstruction of the water main on Douglas Highway some time ago, and Miller Construction was the low bidder for the project. Miller has been unable to move forward on the project, and we have negotiated a termination to that contract that I think is in our best interest, and so I'm just advising of you that of that tonight. Typically, on our capital improvement projects, we require performance bonds and payment bonds, and we have a rigorous regime to ensure that the structure of our low bidding procedures are upheld in a manner that our contractors have faith in our processes. In this instance, I decided that it was in our interest to negotiate an end to the project. It did not appear that it could be successfully built by that firm, so we have entered into an agreement terminating the contract. And they have agreed to not bid municipal work for a period of time, removing themselves from competition from our procurements for 2 years. We will rebid the work competitively and we'll put it back out on the street. We will experience a delay on the project. So, in short, a complicated situation, but I believe that moving forward in this manner is in our best interests. And that's all I have on that report.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Manager, I don't. If you said it, I missed it. Are you claiming the bond?
We are not. And that would be the course that we are avoiding in this case. So. And the analysis, I think, is that by negotiating this termination, we will avoid a potentially protracted battle over that. And the concession of their non-competition for a period of time, I think, was a reasonable way to terminate this project.
Follow up? Could you tell me the bond amount, Mr. Manager?
So they would have had a performance bond amount in the amount of their bid, and I'm looking at Ms. Mead. The bid amount is on the order of $1.5 million.
One more follow-up?
Certainly.
Are we awarding any kind of liquidated damages or anything other than what you were just talking about as far as negotiations?
We are not. No.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, the work did not commence. There is no partially completed infrastructure. The work never started.
Thank you.
Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to state the obvious, this is right in my front yard. My understanding was last year when this project got delayed then, but the city went ahead and ordered the pipe. Is that pipe here? I mean, it didn't go to Miller. It went someplace or it's someplace else waiting to be shipped to the contractor, but that has been ordered, and that because it was caught up in being built in some of the factories that had damage during the hurricanes down in the Gulf Coast.
Mr. Manager?
Mr. Mayor, Miller did order pipe, and the pipe is at Alaska Marine Lines, and the pipe is still useful to the project. So as part of the settlement, we will pay the cost of the pipe and we will receive the pipe.
Okay, further questions? Seeing none, we'll move on. To the mayor's report. The only thing I could control tonight was any degree of semblance. Best Starts. I have a meeting with Joy Lyons and some other child care proponents this week, and I will follow up with that. Project Playground is scheduled for completion on August 3rd. August 8th through the 12th is public participation on it, so it's not really completed yet, but the portion that the contractor is working on. Again, August 8th through the 12th is public participation on the park. If you wish to participate, you can participate on or sign up on goprojectplayground.org. Goprojectplayground.org. As we stated at the beginning so long ago, Infrastructure Week this week with harbors, Tuesday will be Statter Harbor Breakwater. Wednesday will be the Sea Walk by the Archipelago. Thursday will be Harris Harbor, and Friday will be a fairly large one that you may want to attend, Aurora Harbor Phase 2. Aurora Harbor Phase 2, they will celebrate the completion there. This Friday, Friends of the State Library, Archives, and Museum Organization turns 50. They will be celebrating that at the APK. In 1967, Juneau voters approved a 1% sales tax to help fund the State Museum, and it was built and dedicated in 1968. So this will be 50 years. Lots of good things happened in 1968. It has 50-year things going with it. So we'll leave that. The clerk let me know that we have the state and federal lobbyist contracts coming up, and they need renewal by July 1st, the state being with Kevin Jardell and the federal with Chambers, Conton, and Hurtwell, Katie Ketchel. So, unless the assembly wishes to go into depth between now and then, I would ask the assembly to direct staff to renew for an additional year. We go from year to year. And may I have a motion to that effect so that we can, Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we renew the contracts, the negotiating contracts.
For the state not, and the
not,
federal?
Not negotiating, what's the word I want?
Just renew the contracts.
Yeah, renew the contracts for Kevin Jardell and Kate. And,
right. Is there any discussion or objection?
Yeah.
Seeing none, Mr. Manager, you know what you need to do. All right, thank you, and that concludes the mayor's report. Committee reports, liaison reports, assembly comments, and questions. We'll start with Mr. Nan Curvis and go down the line.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On April 30th, the committee whole had our last meeting. We had a report from the Utilities Advisory Board. We had an update on the homelessness issue and the point in time count. I've just written a couple numbers down, and I'm not going to go through them. We went through JP recruitment and retention. We also discussed ordinance 2018-04, which was the variances ordinance that we did tonight. And
you were all at the meeting with the numbers, but we have the numbers, and Scott Chambor has the numbers for the point in time count and stuff. Our next meeting is May 21st. We're tentatively on the agenda. We have some FEMA information and RecycleWorks at this point. That is it for my committee reports under my comments. I was able to get out to the plant sale this last weekend out at Safeway, and at the start of it is much like Black Friday. I've never been out there for the beginning of it at 9 o'clock, but it is a fairly mad dash everywhere, very civilized mad dash. From there, I went down to the Maritime Festival and saw a number of you as well down there at that. Friday evening, I attended the police memorial service for Police Week at DZ School. It actually started at 5:30, not 6 o'clock, as I think many people were under the impression. On Sunday the 6th, I got to go out to UAS commencement services. I also saw several of you there, and then I followed that up with a trip to the Empty Bowls fundraiser for the Glory Hole at Centennial Hall. Centennial Hall was full, all three ballrooms, and I think every table was just about full at every seat. It was very good to see. On Saturday the 5th, I was at the Blessing of the Fleet, and then I also went down there in what was arguably much worse weather than last year when the other totem pole was raised, but the second totem pole raising at DIPAC Hatchery. There I saw a couple of us there as well at that, and that was a very nice ceremony. Pretty short due to the weather, however. And on Friday night before that, Alaska Brewing had their fundraiser down at the Twisted Fish. I got to have a lot of conversations with a lot of people at that until it started getting so crowded I couldn't hear anybody anymore. And at that point, I went to the Polaris House fundraiser that was at the Elizabeth Peretrovich Hall. And they did a really good job on the Polaris House fundraiser. I think they had just about $7,000 raised that night with admissions and silent auction items. And that kind of sums up everywhere that I've been lately. Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Lands meeting, this last meeting was canceled due to us having a hearing. The next meeting is this coming Monday, May 21. JADC spent most of their time making sure that all the plans were in order for the Maritime Festival, which we just had this weekend, even though it was extremely windy and cold and a little bit cold. The festival was very well attended and seemed to be many things. I don't think they cut back on anything because of the weather. Just everyone who wanted to be out and who wanted to have booths, it was all going. Next meeting of JADC is August 1st. The Alaska Committee discussed cameras in the Capitol, and that's a KTO project. Some of the places the cameras will go is the House and Senate Finance, House and Senate Chambers, the Governor's Floor, and many other places. So they continued with planning for the Tanana Fair, August 11 to September 3, and the Palmer Fair, August 23 to September 3. There are tickets from Alaska Airlines, two for each fair. We're working on finding what we can do with the people who win those tickets when they come to Juneau during the legislative session, what kind of activities we can provide for them, and if we can get hotel contributing. JADC is going to do a survey, to the legislators and the staff at the airport. Next meeting is June 13. The airport, Patty Watto gave a presentation on the remodel work at the chamber meeting. It was very well done. She gave us a lot of information. Seems that there's not quite enough money to do all this remodel work. I'm sure that's a surprise because the FAA doesn't pay for any of this. So, but they're going to, I think they did get, what, $9 million? Is that about, I think that's what it was. From someone. I don't remember who it was from. Anyway, they're trying to make more money. Travel Juno has a meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m. at the Aspen Hotel. Under comments,
I guess I followed Jerry around. I went to the police memorial and the Maritime Festival and Blessing of the Fleet and Empty Bowls and the DIPAC, Blessing of the Fool, and the DIG meeting where the police came and really did a great job, gave us a lot of information. And so I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Kuhn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll start with the Finance Committee.
We finished.
We do not have a Finance Committee meeting this week. We'll get another one scheduled depending on how Recycle Works goes and other pending items. And, of course, the developer from Eagle Rock Ventures will coordinate schedules so that we can get that on a finance agenda and have those conversations. The UAS Campus Council has not met and probably will not meet again till the fall semester gets rolling, but I was at the University of Alaska Southeast graduation ceremony. Senator Lisa Murkowski spoke. Honorary degrees were awarded to former Mayor Bruce Patello and to Kayastan Marie Olson. And a meritorious service award to Nancy DeCherney of the Arts Council for her service to the university. Switching to the Alaska Municipal League, I think we've got an executive director. I will be flying up for a brief in-person meeting of the board to finalize that decision. On May the 21st, I will probably, Mr. Van Kervis, be on the phone for your committee the whole meeting. Conversation I had, our new executive director and spouse have already engaged a realtor to look at buying a home here in the capital city. Also of interest on Alaska Municipal League issues, as long as I wasn't too delirious reading the amendments to the capital budget on adjournment night, I believe there was a one-time extra distribution of revenue sharing of $6 million statewide. So that will be a couple of drops in the bucket that will be very welcome. Those additional distributions, the way the formula works, tend to favor larger communities a little more. The base amount tends to be more favorable to the small communities that are so dependent on it to keep the lights on. I'll have to get with Mr. Bartholomew about the dollar amount because I didn't get a run. Not on adjournment night, sorry. That analysis was beyond me at that point. Let's see. So moving to comments and questions, let me start with something I should have said when we were on the school district's budget. I had meant to just disclose, the city attorney's ruled there's no conflict, but meant to disclose that my wife has become a very occasional hourly employee of the school district. We may be looking at as much as 10 hours a semester. Needed to let folks know that. I apologize for not doing that earlier. Wanted to thank the mayor for bringing the question of the lobbyist contracts for the full assembly. That renewal has been done without bringing it to the assembly in the past. This is better. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate that. let's see. Went to a lot of the same events, Maritime Festival, where I wasn't that cold. My daughter brought me down there when the sun came out. Blessing of the Fleet, where I was that cold. The DIPAC pole racing, where I was both cold and wet. Also had the opportunity to attend the change of command ceremony for the U.S. Coast Guard 17th District. Rear Admiral Matthew Bell is now in command of the 17th. He is, and his wife are back in Alaska, where they love it. I want to lend my full support to his effort to make it a three-year posting instead of a two-year posting. I think that would be good for Juneau, good for the district. We should probably get in touch with him and see if there's somebody we should write to.
He already got
There you go.
He wrote the
order. He writes it.
He wrote the orders.
Not sure he wrote three-year orders. He's working on that.
No, he did.
At any rate, it would be a great change. And then the other thing I wanted to make sure folks were aware, on Sunday the 20th, there will be, and I don't have the name exactly right, an Older Americans celebration at the General Pioneer Home, especially in honor of our centenarians, of whom there are a few living at the General Pioneers Home. That's from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon. So I look forward to seeing everybody there, celebrating some of our elders. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met last week. It was mainly informational items, but we did also have a special meeting on Recycle Works, which we had a lot of discussion. And then the committee also then went out and took a tour of the CMI property and the waste dump. It was very informative, and I was glad that all of the committee could take the time out of the day, because I know some are working to do that. And I think that was, it would be good information that I'm sure will help our discussion at the committee, the whole meeting. The next meeting is due on May 21st, and that has been canceled. There was discussion with Public Works. There wasn't enough for any real business, and the new director there, I think, is down south this week getting his daughter married. So so our next meeting of Public Works will actually be June 11th. We will not have a meeting at noon on May 21st. The Juneau School District held their meeting last week. Their work session was on health insurance. I found it fascinating, given that it's the first time I learned exactly, I guess I didn't learn. I heard, and maybe I'll have to follow up, is that the health insurance for the school district is really part of each negotiation with each union. And so each union gets to pick their provider, gets to pick their plan. The city has, or the school district has sort of set a base that they will pay. And so sort of the negotiation with the union is how much the union members pay. It was an interesting discussion to have a school board learning about the health insurance that they were paying for, that is basically part of the union negotiations for each union. I'm still not quite sure I understand all of that. I did get a copy of the material that they did not hand out, but that they used, so I will be reviewing that. They approved the first reading of the school board meeting schedule for next year. Most of the meetings will be out at Thunder Mountain, not JDHS, as per their agreement to go back and forth. They also approved at final reading the school calendar for 19-20. They had a discussion of food service. The current food service contractor, after they had negotiated a renewal, informed the school district that they would not be providing the meal service for next year. So I guess the school district went to the State Department of Education and got permission to do an emergency bid and are going back to NANA, which will actually cost them a little bit more money. And their next meeting is June 12th. The Downtown Business Association met last week also. And I had asked Jill McLean from CDD to come over. By the time they got done with all the other business, Jill had about 5 minutes to talk about the downtown blueprint, she's calling it. But it was a good introduction to both the for the Downtown Business Association to meet Jill and for Jill to meet them. She's going to be doing the plan. This Friday is Bike to Work Day, and I know Pavitt Health, the Cycle Alaska, and now the Downtown Business Association are going to have places to stop. The DBA is going to be on the corner of Front and Seward. They are going to have a place for bicyclists to park their bikes so that they can do their work and stuff like that. I know it's under construction. I got a question about that too. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock at the Baranoff Coffee Shop, if you want to hear about Front Street construction, maybe that's a question that'll come up. But also, if anybody's interested, the next meeting is June 5th, and the DBA has now a representative from the JAC attending, a representative from Travel Juneau attending, a representative from JEDC attending, and they all give a status report sort of their connections at the end of each meeting if people are interested to not wait 6-8 months until something comes up and Travel Juneau comes before us. They can come to the monthly DBA meetings and they may hear something that's of interest. The next meeting of the DBA is June 5th. Joint Commission on Aging met on April 30. I did not attend as at we had Public Works, I think, going on, or one of those days. And Mr. Keel took my promotion about May 20, but that's fine. And I think that's it for committee and sort of liaison reports. Part of my sort of comments, and I had a brief conversation with the city manager, and we sort of went back and forth texting today on the contract we approved to manage the parking and, quote, security at the two downtown parking garages. But I've had a lot of discussion with a lot of people, and I think it's time maybe this summer that the manager sort of rethink how we approach parking, trying to let the dig and other people get involved, because there's not much going on. We got the bootlegger contract. We got police doing the parking enforcement on the street parking. We got docks and harbors for buses and cabs and Statter Harbor and partly public parking in some places. Centennial Hall staff does their parking. Parks and Rec sell the garage permits. The DBA has some ambassadors. Travel Juneau's got crossing guards. It just seems like there's a whole lot of money going out there. And all I hear from the business people and others, and I try to caution them that it's not true, but their comments is there's never a place to park and it affects our business. I come downtown 2 or 3 times a day, and I can always find a place to park. But if you can't park in front of the business you want to go to, I guess there's no parking. So, but I think that, and we just approved or will approve when the budget comes back to us, $250,000, the parking CIP. I think it's time that we did more of a concentrated effort around that issue in downtown. The streets will be torn up again in September while they do up by the Baranoff, so the complaints will start again. And I just really think that that's a very, very important issue that we need to deal with. I guess I'll keep harping on it until we do something. And I know we had a zoning issue before us that we voted on, and I implored the people involved at Anak Bay to attend it if they could. So if any of them are listening tonight, the Anak Bay Implementation Plan Committee of the Planning Commission is meeting Thursday at noon in the large conference room at Community Development. I know there's an infrastructure ribbon cutting, and I know the manager's going to be talking to Chamber, so I doubt that we'll get a lot at the Anak Bay Plan Implementation Committee. But if anybody's interested, that meeting will be going on then. And with that, I think that's all of my liaison and comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Wojcicki.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met this evening, and we have some recommendations for appointments. First, to the Treadwell Arena Advisory Board, the committee recommends the appointment of Ryan Koslerich for a term expiring May 31st, 2021.
Is there any objection? That nomination is
HRC also recommends the appointment of Jeff Larson to the Utility Advisory Board for a term ending May 31, 2021.
Is there any objection? The motion is carried.
HRC recommends the appointment of Steve Sorensen to the Bidding Review Board for a term expiring May 31, 2021.
Is there any objection to that nomination? That nomination is carried.
And the appointment of Britt Tonneson to the Human Rights Commission for a term expiring 5/31/21.
Is there any objection to that nomination?
And finally, for the appointments to the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee, the appointment of John Gellings for a term expiring 2/29/20.
Is there any objection to that nomination? That nomination is carried.
We also heard a report from the Sister Cities Committee, and there is a meeting of the Russian-American Pacific Partnership in Anchorage, July 25th to 26th. This is a old organization. It's about 23 years old. It's having a meeting in Anchorage. The Sister Cities Committee requests and the committee recommends that the manager or the mayor, whoever has the most official-looking seal, to write a letter of invitation to a Vladivostok official to come to that meeting, and the Russian officials like officials. So if Mr. Manager or Mr. Mayor would write such a letter with the Sister Cities Committee, the committee recommends that invitation.
Yeah,
Mr.
We'll,
Mayor.
We'll arm wrestle for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. And you can talk to Sue Baxter regarding that letter. I'm sure she would help make it happen. Also, the committee recommends that the assembly use $1,600 of the funds in the, help me out, Madam Clerk, in the advisory board fund, which there apparently is a couple $1,000s left in for this year, to fund sending someone to that meeting. Again, it's in Anchorage in July 25th, 26th, and the committee hopes that the committee will work on who, with the city manager and JEDC. There's a lot of economic development things on the agenda. So if the committee, the Human Resources Committee recommends that the Sister Cities Committee, the city manager, and JEDC figure out who should go to said meeting, who is most appropriate. Could be a number of people. So that's the recommendation.
Is there any objection to that recommendation?
Okay, thank you very much. The Bartlett Hospital Board met on the 24th. The city attorney was there to give them some information about conflict of interest and open meetings laws. It was wonderful. They've decided to move their board meetings back to 5:30. They had been meeting at 5:15, and that's hard for people that work to get there. So they're moving their meetings back. If anyone wants to go to those meetings, they're at 5:15. The next meeting is May 22nd. They're on the last Tuesday. They reported that they signed a tentative agreement with their union, which will be going out for a ratification vote. They also said that the year-end patient quality dashboard showed they had exceeded all the benchmarks in all areas of patient satisfaction. So that was pretty good news there for the hospital. As I said, the next meeting is May 22nd. I was unable to go to the Affordable Housing Commission last meeting, so I got their agenda, and the agenda says on the agenda is follow-up items. So I'm not sure what was on the agenda. I'm sorry I couldn't get the minutes. Those were not available yet. Their next meeting is, I'm not sure. Sorry, didn't write that down. I've been out of town the last few weeks. I'm super happy to be back where it's cool and clear. And I'm here to tell you that the whale is being plumbed and water is coming out of all kinds of places. Talk with the whale. It's very, my office is near there. People are going there a lot. Visitors are going there. They finally got they have the interpretive panels up. There are tables and chairs there. There's a picnic tables under a shelter. The boardwalk is full of people going there. Just before this meeting, met a couple of visitors down there. The other day they had all the plumbing on high on the whale with water spurting out everywhere. And I was like, oh, is that what it's going to be? And but no, they were just sort of cleaning the pipes. So I have a video if anyone wants to see the exciting whale spouting. Lots of people stopped. So there are people along the side like, what's that? So that was exciting. Anyway, it's beautiful. And is there a, here's a question, some opening thing ever? Or were you just going? People just...
Mr. Mayor, I believe there is going to be some type of ceremony. I think the people that have worked on it were averse to scheduling that before they were ready. So I expect that's going to be scheduled soon.
Well, people are already enjoying it, and there is water in it, and it's they're working out the what's going to spout when. So if you come regularly, you'll get to see it change as it does it. And the infinity pool is on its way. So that's all I have. Thank you. Oh, I know. One more thing. The Human Resources Committee, we have to, the Assembly, as sitting as the full Assembly, to interview candidates for the Airport, Eagle Crest, and Docks and Harbors Board. We're hoping for a meeting on June 27th. It's a Wednesday. There's a if anyone has a anyone in the Assembly has a problem with that, let us know. But it looked good as far as we knew. So we'd like to set that date. If you do have any objection to that, let the city clerk's office know tomorrow. Otherwise, we'll try to schedule it for Wednesday, June 27th at 5:30. Thank you.
Just one comment on the whale. This weekend, when there wasn't any work going on, so I was going over the bridge and they weren't the water. There was still water in the pool. And so families were out there and kids were running in the water inside the fountain where it was being held. And people were walking all around inside, you know, where they'd done all the smooth cement. So, it, you know, but that's where. So it was the benches weren't being used and the tables weren't being used, but people were walking all over the inside of the fountain, very much like they do it down in Seattle. If the fountain's not going to the music, everybody's down in there walking up. Well, everybody's walking around where all the pipes are that I think are probably pretty delicate. But anyway, I just thought I'd let you know that there was more people inside that thing than there was in the outside in the park.
You got a dry day. It's time to get in the water.
Perhaps they need to turn the fountains on, squirting high again.
You need a sign. This is
okay, thank you for the aquatics report, Ms. Wilton.
Carrying on the aquatics report, the aquatics board actually had to cancel their meeting, and they have their next meeting on May 22nd. They were trying to mesh their schedule with the new Parks and Rec director, George Schaaf. So more to come from them. The Planning Commission had a meeting on April 24th, and it was very light agenda. They spent most of their time on the FY 2019 capital improvement program for them. Their next meeting is Tuesday, May 22nd. So just my comments, just another quick shout out to the 12U A and B teams for the hockey. It just shows that Geno hockey is looking to remain strong in the next few years. So, and congratulations to both JDHS and TMHS for their proms that I heard went well for both of them, and it was lovely to see all those lovely young ladies and dressed up gentlemen. So I apologize for missing a lot of activities. The rain and the bad weather didn't go well with my boot, and I also was out of town for a bit attending the joint ROTC review at Oregon State University, where of course the Navy and Marines marched the best. So let's see here, and then I for my hope, and I won't word this right, but I'm doing my request through the assembly for the attorney to bring us information on this special revenue fund that we need to do the JDHS lease of the UAS shop, if I may, through the assembly. I'm going to keep trying.
All right.
So, do I have assembly approval to have her look at that?
I don't see any objection.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilton. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will keep it brief. The Parks and Recreation Committee met on Tuesday, May the 1st at 6 p.m. here in the Assembly Chambers. There were two main items on the agenda, the first of which was the Schweitzer Marriott fund transfer. The Parks and Rec staff will be working with four Rotary clubs to work on a trail in the Lemon Creek area, which has been considered a high priority for the neighborhood, serving as an access corridor between the Lemon Creek neighborhood and the DZ Middle School, helping students to avoid the busy streets. And they're using some money from a former CIP, the Treadwell Ditch CIP, in coordination with some grant funds from the Rotary clubs to improve the trail and the planks that are in there that are rotten. An issue that we will probably see before us sometime in the future is regarding a land trade on the southern Mendenhall Peninsula. To my surprise, there are seven very large lots down on the end of the Mendenhall Peninsula facing North Douglas. And one of the landowners is looking to trade some land with the City and Borough of Juneau Parks Department for some of his land so that he can build on his lot. And so I didn't hear any negative feedback on either the Schweitzer Marriott fund transfer or the land trade on the Mendenhall Peninsula. But stay tuned. You may see that coming before you sometime soon. The Eagle Crest Board met on Thursday, the 3rd of May, due to the change in our schedule with the Finance Committee meeting. I was here in the chambers while they were meeting upstairs, so I was unable to attend that meeting. I've yet to see the minutes, but I'll be sure to give us an update at the next meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. See, the Local Emergency Planning Committee met at 12, May 9th at the hospital. I actually showed up at 12:05 on the 10th, not the 11th, or the, not the 9th, so when I get the minutes, I'll bring them here. Docks and Harbors met on April 26th, kind of in the spirit, I think, of what the clerk's office was asking. They went through kind of and created a catalog of duties and responsibilities along with desirable skills and the skills that the current Docks and Harbors Board has. They also renewed a permit for Tracy's Crab Shack. Their next meeting is the 31st of this month. Let me see. I don't know why that's in there. So Maritime Festival I thought was very fun, and I thought it was cold. Let's see. Empty Bowl, we went and got two empty bowls, and we still have them, and they're still empty. See, along with UAS graduation, right before the UAS graduation, there's the Native graduation, and that's turning out to be a pretty big event with more graduates from around the state, and actually not just around the state, but all around the country. So that's turning into quite an event. The dance group that I'm in danced at both, and I had a hard time walking for the next 3 days. let me see. Celebration is coming up, 23 days, I think. It's one of our probably best-attended community events, June 6th through June 9th. There's an increasing number of people every year, and I encourage you to go to it and to bring people there. And Mr. Keel may have more information on this. I think at the towards the end of June, the week of June 17th, the Filipino governor of Cebu, or is it Cebu?
Cebu.
Cebu will be in town. I don't know if there's any events with CBJ or not, but I know that there's events scheduled with the state. Last week I was out of town, and I took advantage of, you know, walking about 20,000 steps in different cities in Alaska and looking at their homeless situation as best I could, which it was present every place that I went. And let me see, I will concede to Mr. Keel on his ideas about parking, because in some of the places there were parking lots and there was nothing to buy, nothing to see, nothing to do. So I will be thinking about that as we talk about parking downtown in the future. And to go back to UAS, just to shout out to the UAS graduates, there are quite a few of them, and it was fantastic seeing all the different levels, associates, bachelors, masters, and doctorates, and honorary doctorates. So that's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Ederson. I do not believe we have any presiding officer reports. Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, just two reminders. One, to remind the Assembly that you've been invited by the Marine Exchange of Alaska tomorrow night, 5:30. And Thursday, Joint Assembly School Board ALICE training here in chambers, 6 p.m.
Okay, one more time, will you give us those?
Marine Exchange tomorrow night, 5:30. And Thursday, Joint Assembly School Board ALICE training here in chambers at 6.
Will someone send out an email on that? Thank you very much.
In that send out, would you please someone give all those Stater Harbor and Aurora and all those dates when their openings or dedications or whatever? There's a whole list of them.
Mm-hmm. All right. That was a great presiding officer report. Public participation on non-agenda items. Do we have anybody signed up back there? Are either one of you going to say anything? Right. We're through with that one. We have an executive session on litigation update.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we recess into executive session to discuss a matter the subject of which could have an adverse effect on the city's finances, that subject being the CLIA lawsuit.
Any comments? Hearing none, going into executive session.